track 12. And now we come to our feature article. And this week, the article is taken from TNF Soundings. It tells of Kate Cranston, a Glasgow patron of the artist Charles Rennie Mackintosh and a pioneer of the Glasgow tea rooms. It is read by Liz in her lovely Scottish accent and lasts about 15 minutes.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello again, it's Liz from East Kilbride here. My woman of choice today is the Glasgow woman who features on the Royal Bank of Scotland £20 notes, so she really must be worth knowing. And also perhaps more generally known as the world-famous patron of Charles Rennie Mackintosh and the Art Nouveau style, sometimes called the Glasgow style. So to begin at the beginning, she was born and brought up in Glasgow. She spent all her life in Glasgow. Her family were in what we would now call the hospitality trade. And Glasgow in the latter years of the 19th century was very much the boom city, the second city of the empire. Businesses, people, everything was growing, expanding, and people needed places to be outside the home and have social meetings and perhaps business meetings. Now, sadly, very often in Glasgow, the place that the meetings were held were in the pubs. And this became a great worry in the city. Across all classes of the city, people were spending too much time drinking and meeting in the pubs. Just at that time, the temperance movement was very active in Glasgow. They held marches, they held rallies. Something had to be done. Also at the same time, the price of tea was going down. Now, that meant this beverage was healthier and cheaper than booze. Also, of course, you boiled the water, so it was definitely going to keep the folks healthier. So it was Kate's brother, Stuart, who was one of the pioneers of let's have a cup of tea and a sandwich and discuss our latest business proposal. She decided she could expand this idea. So building on the zeal of the temperance movement, building on the cheaper availability of tea, she decided to craft new style tea rooms with the social experience added, because her market was not just the businessmen of Glasgow, her market was particularly the ladies coming in from the newly established suburbs who were in to Glasgow to shop. Perhaps for a lunch, perhaps for a whole day, and they needed somewhere to meet that was respectable, where they would be comfortable, where they would not have to have a male buddy keeping an eye on them, and also, let's just say this, what it was, they needed somewhere they could spend a penny. Now, just as sometimes happens, the most glorious things like Art Nouveau can be created from the most pedestrian necessity of ladies needing toilets. Because when Kate Cranston took over her plans and developed the idea of tea rooms, not only were there to be rooms for ladies only to chat together, rooms for men only to chat together, they had lovely ladies' toilets. She saw the opportunity, she grabbed the opportunity. She recognised a young designer, not really yet launched into the world, and his name, Charles Rennie Mackintosh. Now, it's important for me in my limited time to also mention he was not alone in his skill and his talent, because his designing partner and his newly married wife, Margaret MacDonald, came into Kate Cranston's world. And they worked together to create these beautiful new establishments, not your Victorian dark walls, dark furniture, heavy furniture, white walls, lots of light, lots of stained glass. And that look that became Art Nouveau was the result of Kate Cranston giving free rein to the Macintosh duo. She said, go for it. She said, integrate everything. And that's why what we now see as a modern idea of themes, of colours linking together, of the colours in the carpets, the colours in the cutlery, the decor, everything was toned together in this glorious new, airy and wonderful style. Kate Cranston, significantly, I think, never tried to be as fashionable as her establishments. There's a lovely wee anecdote here from Sir Edwin Lutyens, who spoke about Miss Cranston is a dark, fat wee buddy with black, sparkling, luminous eyes. She wears a bonnet garnished with roses, but you know, she's made a fortune. All the photographs that we have of Kate show her. Now, we're now into 1900, 1902, etc. And she's wearing a very, very old-fashioned, dark-coloured crinoline. She's out of date. She's dowdy. She's old-fashioned. In fact, perhaps that was a marketing idea. She would never be seen as a fashion statement by any of her clients. Wise woman. The Willow Tea Rooms was one of several crafted by the Macintoshes. They became the byword for style, elegance, privacy, if needed, and above all, comfort and respectability. So you see, that's the next tea. I haven't just spoken about tea rooms. I haven't just spoken about temperance. I've also again mentioned toilets. This must not be forgotten. Up till then, there were only very few public toilets in Britain. In fact, the first flushing toilet was displayed at the Great Exhibition in 1851. And by the stage of the tea rooms in Glasgow, there were a few public toilets, but they were for men. This was something that had very horribly been described as a way of social control over women. They couldn't go out unless they were going somewhere of family and friends if they couldn't use their toilet, graphically described as the urinary leash. So I think you could actually see Kate Cranston as actually facilitating a great deal of change in society. One biographer said, in rather grand language, she pioneered social change through her tea rooms. Now, if that just meant that women could sit comfortably together, not rush, not be overheard and discuss tea and cakes and fashions, that hardly seems the vehicle for social change. But in fact, as the years went on, the ease with which they could sit together in tea rooms meant that they could actually discuss matters of the day, politics, dare we say it, even the idea of women having the vote, of women having equality. One Lyons tea room in London actually gave you a cheap deal in later years if you wore the badge of the suffragette movement. So we mustn't underestimate Kate Cranston's, even if it was by the way, contributing to these ideas of social change. Now, if I'm presenting her as this absolute angel, I think that wouldn't be accurate. She was, after all, a money-making entrepreneur in a men's world. All the articles about her say that she was a fair boss, but a demanding one. If I tell you that the expected working day of her waitresses was 13 hours, 6 days a week, that might make you a wee bit concerned. If I also tell you she normally recruited her waitresses from single parent families or girls who had been in orphanages. Now, was that benevolence or did she know that these girls had to keep working even if the situation wasn't easy? In the most shocking aspect of her as an employer, she regularly visited the waitress gals at home to see that they were leading respectable lives away from the tea rooms. Nothing was going to mar the image of the tea rooms being the best of Glasgow and the best that Scotland could offer the world. Did Kate have much time for a personal life? Well, she did. She married John Cochrane. They had a very happy marriage of over 30 years. He was not in the tea room trade. He ran a boiler business. And the wedding gifts apparently were putting more money of his into her tea room business, which is, I suppose, romantic if you're that way inclined. The marriage was so devoted to each other that when John Cochrane died, Kate lost heart. They hadn't had any children. They'd worked together. They had rebuilt their house together, commissioning McIntosh to do work on their own family home. But you know, that death just seems to have knocked the stuffing out of her. She decided just a few years after his death to sell her businesses and became a virtual recluse in the South Side villa in Glasgow where she lived. Now, of course, fashion and art and many things in this world have their time in the sun. And when she sold the businesses, they were thriving. In the years after that, not only did the trade in the tea rooms dwindle, but the power of this new Art Nouveau Glasgow style began to fade away. And for many years, people didn't really notice that we had these glories in Glasgow. And of course, demolitions came, redevelopment came. At one stage, very narrowly, some of the McIntosh interiors were saved from complete destruction and were taken into the care of the Glasgow museums. But I think Kate Cranston's contribution now has once more risen. It just wouldn't have happened without her championing this new designer and his wife. So, although we may say there were only tea rooms, they weren't just that. They were tea rooms that gave the talent another tea to flourish. They were tea rooms that had the toilets that allowed the women to sit and mull over their conditions, their dreams of improvements, and their comfort in each other's company. And Kate Cranston, for that reason, fully deserves to be on the £20 banknote here in Scotland. Now, I've only given you a very gentle aspect of her life, but you know, I think she was important. I think she was very steady in her ideas. And I think I want to leave you with where her heart really was. It was broken after she lost her husband. She lived her quiet life to the end of her days, but her fortune, which was a mighty big one, she left to the city of Glasgow and to the people of Glasgow, because after all, they had made her fortune, and really, through them supporting Kate, in turn, Glasgow has given much of Art Nouveau to the world. And that's Kate Cranston, and thanks once again for listening to me.
TNF Soundings.